Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Craig Smith. Today, we're continuing our series for Women's History Month, where we engage with women who are charting the course for a brighter Bahamas. Today, we're discussing higher education, which isn't just about education and research. It's also about shaping a nation's future. Universities drive innovation, produce skilled leaders, and fuel economic and social transformation. But how do we ensure that University of the Bahamas is meeting world-class standards? Currently, the university is on an ambitious journey towards accreditation. Joining us to discuss what progress has been made and what lies ahead is Dr. Walteria Tucker-Roll, Assistant Vice President for Institutional Strengthening and Accreditation at UB. Welcome, Dr. Tucker-Roll, to University Drive.
Thank you, Dr. Smith.
Thank you for being here. I think we can be informal. I can call you Walteria, right? We're sort of friends.
Absolutely, okay. Dr. Smith, cool. Craig.
All right. Thank you, Walteria. So, Walteria, you've been a part of the UB community for quite a while, and you've been on the show before a few years ago. And back then, you were fully in your role as assistant professor for Spanish. It must be quite a different switch now from faculty to senior administration. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Listen, it is, but what I often say about the just faculty have the capacities, right, to do very complicated things. I mean, we're planners, we're organized. You know, in general, we have really good people skills. And so I think all of those things are applicable to the administrative context. And I see sort of moving from full-time in the classroom, and over the years, I've engaged different administrative posts, heads, chairing committees, being chair of the School of Communication and Creative Arts, directing the American Corner partnership that the university has with the U.S. Embassy. And I see it sort of as a way to impact university life, using the skills that I've garnered in the classroom on a grander scale. So, you know, it's cool. It's different, but it's familiar in that way.
And this is a really significant time right now, yes, with this process happening. What's your overarching view on being on the front lines of the transformation happening at UB right now?
I mean, women are always on the front line, first of all, Craig. So,
well.
But in all seriousness, it's an honor, right? It's an honor to be part of this chapter of UB's history. You know, the place has been in operation for more than 50 years. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. And it's an honor for me, having been, you know, having moved to the Bahamas some years ago and married to a lovely Bahamian, by the way, but to be part of the evolution of this institution, it's a great honor for me. And I say, you know, challenge accepted, because I do believe in this place. Like, I believe in our students. I believe in what we're trying to do. And I often say that, you know, what we're doing at UB as faculty, as staff, as administrators, we are engaging the process of nation building one student at a time. And I'm proud to be here leading this portion of that effort.
Well, Tier, there are many people right now who maybe no longer see the value in attending a university. From a national and global perspective, there are so many trends and policies and politics impacting higher education. With the internet, information is easily accessible. So Is a university education still relevant?
I think, and this is not just because I have 3 degrees, right, and a number of certificates, right? I fundamentally believe in the value of higher ed. I believe that a university education is more than just the content that we teach, but it's we're helping people to learn how to think, right? You and I know that at every phase, right, and with every degree that you seek, you know, at the bachelor's level, we're trying to get you to the point where you can identify basic sources of information and engage some level of mastery at preliminary skills, right, in a given field, your major, right? We're trying to do that. And the capstone of a bachelor's is generally some kind of project. It's generally a thesis, right? So to showcase that you have learned that skill. And then when you get to master's degrees, you know, we're asking you to dig deeper, right? And literally master a particular area of specialty and to focus in. And we make you do that very quickly within a 2-year period generally. And so you grow in your expertise at that level. And of course, a PhD for me is about not only continuing special study within your given area, but understanding how your area interacts with other areas and sort of becoming this thinker that thinks not just in terms of content and not just in terms of your particular specialty, but in terms of how fields of knowledge interact with each other. So do I think that that process is important? Absolutely. And I do not think it's something that people can engage just by looking up information online. I mean, there is knowledge and then there's understanding, right? And so, you know, I will borrow a quote from, I believe it's one of the experts. She's in culturally adaptive learning. Her name is escaping me right now, but she speaks of education as a process of becoming. And I 100% buy into that. Education and higher education then is a process of becoming even better acquainted with this world, how it works, and how you can impact it using what you learn in your classes.
And even in communicating with each other, I mean, one of the things that I appreciate about my or appreciated about my education was just being in a room with people from different walks of life, from different backgrounds, and meeting, having a chance to commune with them, to talk with them, you know, sometimes about really deeply philosophical ideas, and other times just about, you know, the food we eat and how we cook, those kinds of things. And I agree with you in terms of that idea of becoming and becoming a better version of yourself, that, you know, that you're able to then take back to, you know, your family and your communities and then build and create more.
Yes, it is capacity building. It is skills building, but it is not only those things.
Right.
It's also about, you know, I think, and I'm sure that you agree with this, we fundamentally value lifelong learning based on the fact that we've engaged higher ed. Like we see why it's important because it has personally impacted us. And so, you know, whether or not we're teaching, even after we long retire, I mean, Lord have mercy, it's coming someday, right?
Like a long, long way.
Well, I don't know, Dr. Smith. I mean, I think you might have a couple grays, you know, so like you might be a little closer than I, but what I'm saying is, right, no, I'm just kidding. It's just, we will always do this.
Right.
And I think that we are the better for it. So, yes.
So this brings us to UB specifically, UB's present and UB's future. It's been in operation now for 51 years, and now we have this huge focus on establishing this perpetual framework for quality. So let's get into the conversation. What is accreditation for those of us who don't know what it is? Why is it so important right now? And why should anyone really care about it?
Well, you know, accreditation just broadly conceived, and I like to, now that I'm in this post, you know, as Assistant Vice President, Institutional Strengthening and Accreditation, I have to talk about this and break it down to a number of audiences, right? I should say that my predecessor, Dr. Danny Davis, was a genius at like making people really get excited about like accreditation. I like to think of what accreditation is with regard to this idea of self-regulation, right? We are engaging a process that shows that we are dedicated to regulating and monitoring ourselves based on a declared mission and a declared vision, right? So in other words, when we invite accreditors, national and international, right? Any accreditors, we are inviting them, we are opening ourselves to the scrutiny of an objective eye to determine whether or not we are doing what we say. So, you know, the mission of the university, right, is very clear about, you know, our goal, our purpose to advance and expand higher access to higher education and to promote academic freedom, to drive national development, and to build character through teaching, learning, research, scholarship, and service. And our mission is enshrined in the University of the Bahamas Act. And so when we seek accreditation, we're seeking the objective gaze of institutions, international and otherwise, and national, to check us against what we have promised in our mission that we are going to do. And so just simply, I want people to think of it in that way. And as I said earlier, you know, what's great about accreditation is this idea that we are dedicated, right? It is an elective process. Nobody is making us seek to be accredited, right? And clearly we can operate without certain kinds of accreditation. We have been for 51 years. And so it's not about whether or not it's giving us a right to be or ascribing any fundamental purpose to us. We already have those. What it is about is us electing to undergo this, and I use the word scrutiny, right? And we're demonstrating our commitment to self-regulation. We're demonstrating our commitment and engagement, you know, to a peer review process, right? That we are not just tooting our own horn, but we are inviting other people to come and see if we are as good as we say. And we do believe that we are. We know we are.
Mm. So, well, Tira, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a little bit, right? So for those people who say, well, why we need some foreigners to come and tell us how we run in our university, this is the Bahamas, and why we need some foreign people to come over here and tell us that we doing a good job or not, right?
Right.
What's the response to those one or two people who may think that way?
Right, the one or two who may think that way. I would say to people, again, reminding people that the accreditors do not come to tell us what to do.
Mm.
They come to measure us against what we say we do, right? And then I will borrow, you know, a popular Bahamian saying, and I will try to do so without offending y'all with my bad accent, but y'all just forget, take all mistakes for love.
I'll let you know.
Would you please let me know? But fishermen don't call your own fish stink. And so we fundamentally know that it's necessary for, you know, it's one thing to toot your own horn, but it's quite, you know, it's better always to have, again, an objective eye come and corroborate to support that which you already know about yourselves. And so we're not asking people whether or not we have the right to be. We're not asking them whether or not we're good enough. We know we're good enough. We are wanting to join a cadre of almost 800 in the case of, you know, the international accreditation that we're seeking. We're wanting to be part of that elite number of almost 800 institutions that have dedicated themselves to these amazing standards of accreditation. We're saying that we belong, and I like that.
So talk to us about maybe what are some of the big milestones for this process, and what have we met so far? Which milestones have we met so far?
So we're great, right? We've been in this process talking about accreditation since we chartered to university in 2016, November of 2016. So we've been making strides toward it since then. But the last 2 years have been a real concentrated effort to really get to the point of preparing a complete application for both national and international accreditation. We were able to submit applications in October of 2024 for our national accreditation, and international accreditors received our application in November of 2024. We have received initial feedback from both institutions and are working on preparing responses for that feedback. So we are in it to win it.
Sounds good. All right, so we're going to take a short break, but when we return, we'll discuss how accreditation is not just an internal process. It's something that impacts students, faculty, government, and industry. Stay with us.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Welcome back to University Drive. We're speaking with Dr. Walteria Tuckerole on UB's accreditation journey. Dr. Roll, in all the information gathering, the data collection, the fact finding and mobilizing of resources and talent that has had to happen so far in this process, what is the university learning about itself?
This is a great question. I think the university has learned about itself that fundamentally, we know what we are doing. And that's it might sound a little strange, but what I mean by it is this. We have always done some of the key things that are crucial to running an institution that is effective, right? We have always designed our programs in concert and amended them in response to flows in the local and national economy in terms of the job market. We've designed our programs sometimes in direct consultation with industry and definitely done program reviews is at least in recent years, most definitely in concert with national employers so that we're matching what we teach to what is needed in the workplace, right? So we've done that. We have always provided a stellar level of attention to our students, you know, and this might shock you. I mean, like you're a faculty, but I don't think you realize that our student to faculty ratio, for instance, is overall and for the last four academic years has been somewhere around 22 students to one professor. Now, what's amazing about that is only private liberal arts institutions in the United States and in other places can boast that kind of student to faculty ratio. So we actually, but at UB, over 90% of our courses are offered where there's one professor to no more than 25 students. So we have a fundamental dedication, as it were, even down to the level of how we structure our classes. We have a dedication to making sure that we have small class sizes so we can give our students that kind of quality attention. We have great, you know, placement for our graduates. You know, the entire world wants our nurses, right? We can't produce enough nurses. Like the United States alone really, you know, incentivizes a lot of our nurses to work abroad, because, you know, everybody notices that UB, which is basically the sole trainer, or for many years was the sole trainer of nursing students, right? We have a quality product with that. We have a high passage rate, regionally, and high pass rate for first time, you know, accounting students who sit, right? The CPA, like we have super duper high rates of first time passage because of the amazing accounting program that we have here. We produce, if not all, most of the teachers, right, in the Bahamian Ministry of Education. And so we see that the quality of our educational products, great. Like, again, we have learned fundamentally that we are good and that we're hitting those marks. But on the flip side, we've also learned that we haven't been as great about telling that story. Now, you know, Dr. Smith, you worked here for 100 years. Like, you probably didn't know some of those things.
102, actually.
but it's like we do it every day, but we don't necessarily have the practice of telling the story. And so what's great about this process is it's making us document for the purposes of reporting to others and telling that story more regularly, right? So we've learned that we're great at doing what we do, but we need some work, right, on telling the story. We need some work on, we noticed earlier, you know, that we needed some work on getting our policies and procedures in line, right? So last year, for instance, over the last 18 months, right, we had a complete overhaul, right, of our policies and procedures. And we're still in that process. But, you know, within the last 18 months, you know, we've revised or authored 120 policies and made sure that they're posted on a new digital platform on our website for ourselves and for all the world to see, right? We know that we need to pursue upgrades into the way that our facilities and things like that are. So we know that, yes, we are good. We do have what it takes to keep operating. We are producing students that are making impact and are getting employed, but we can do a better job of telling that story internally and nationally, I think. And so I'm happy that you invited me here to tell that, because I think some people probably just heard some things that they didn't realize. And, you know, this idea that UB is somehow behind, like, internationally, we are not. Our degrees, we're not using accreditation so that our degrees are internationally recognized. Our degrees and our credits have been accepted internationally for years, for over 40 years, right? So we don't have a problem with transferability, and we don't have a problem with recognition. But I will say this accreditation process, I mean, it'll add to that, but we already have it. So again, telling that story, right? So that the public is aware, you know, yeah, we're working on doing that better.
All right. And yeah, UB is great. And again, I noticed you conveniently did not speak of the School of English, which is produced.
My bad. Please go there, my brother.
No, I'm simply saying, for the size of the department, we are a small department, but many of our students go off to master's, PhD programs, yes, and so on and so forth. And so,
wait a minute now, Dr. Smith, not just master's programs, but some of the best. I mean, you guys place students in MFA programs at Brown.
It's significant. And yeah, I do believe that we have a problem in how many Bahamians perceive UB, right? And, you know, people's experiences are people's experiences, and the history is the history, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people who have had experiences with COB back mm-hmm. in the day, mm-hmm. they carry that luggage with them when they're thinking about UB. Do you get what I'm saying?
And I
think that we really, yes, UB has to do a better job of, you know, acknowledging COB was COB, and for the time, we did the best that we can. But, you know, now it's University of the Bahamas, and we have so many success stories, you know, of people going off and doing well or staying here and doing very, very well. But those aren't the stories that, you know, people are talking about all the time.
They're But you know what, Dr. Smith? It's because we have to tell that story, I think, internally. And so, like, I think we always understood it as a story that people would readily accept. They would see the graduates. They would see, you know, one year we had almost, 700 graduates and one graduation ceremony. I mean, like, for a small nation, like, it's amazing that we're producing, you know, that many graduates at any one given time. And, you know, I think that we think that we have thought that the role of telling the story, we've sort of advocated that to others. But this process is telling us that, no, not only should we toot our own horn, right? Not only do we need to tell our story just in general, but we need to get used to tooting our own horn. And we need to know that people want to hear those things. People should want to hear those things. And we need to correct, in some cases, the perception of this. You know, we have, our university has been through a lot in its evolution. And when we look at you and I, you know of senior colleagues who've worked here for many years, who are stalwarts in education and who have hundreds and even thousands of students that they've mentored into places of personal prosperity and wholeness and to fruitful individual lives, right, in Bahamian society. And so is that not the purpose, like, of what we're doing this whole thing about? And so, like, I just think we have to not only, you know, get so bogged down as an institution, not just in doing the work from day to day, we need to be upfront about why we are so good. And to your point about, like, experiences, negative experiences that people have had, President Jeanine Hodder has been encouraging us all as a UB community to think of it this way. You know, she says that we should think of ourselves as an institution in this way. Yes, we are flawed, but we are worthy to be held in high respect. So I'm at once acknowledging, yes, I'm not a perfect institution. You know, I have things that I need to work on. I need to improve my processes. I need to make sure that, you know, certain areas become more efficient. I need to work on certain areas of the customer service experience, both inside the classroom and outside of it, right? But I still am deserving of respect. I need to be proud of what I have accomplished. And so I hope that through this process, UB is armed with more material, with a better foundation to be able to say that.
And also, I think sometimes the criticism is not deserved either, because there's always this only at UB, whatever comes next, you know? But I've attended several universities in the United States, top tier universities, not, you know, tooting my own horn, but, you know, pretty significant universities. And I've had to stand in line, very long lines, to get my student aid and so on and so forth, right? Lines around the corner at the beginning of the semester to get things done. So a lot of the things that happen at this university, they happen at all other universities, wherever they may be. Right. So there's this false perception that only at UB X or Y happens. But, you know, anyone who's attended universities
or worked at other ones, which I have, right. You know, you and, just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are things that this is just a part and parcel of the experience.
Right.
And UB isn't unique in that particular way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
wherever you go, you know, there you are. So, yes, UB is great. We produce amazing students.
UB is great, but we still have work. right?
So,
we're dedicated to it.
So talk to me a little bit about some of the lessons, maybe some of the tougher lessons you've learned during this journey of improvement.
Well, I'll speak, specifically to our just deeply questioning processes that we've engaged for many years. I remember when we first started off, a little past charter, sort of digitizing key processes and that process. And then we also changed, to certain kinds of, but there was an investment in some software, right? Some platforms that are now normal to us, but it took us, years to kind of get used to doing things a different way.
Especially around that
And
COVID moment, right? Like that
exactly.
shot for everybody.
I mean, and to we UB to be clear to everybody, and so that everybody knows, there have always been courses delivered distance, right? In various formats, for I would say upwards of 20 years, we've had that as a as an and as a, an available option for students. But then, of course, yes, the pandemic sort of pushed us into this way where we had to explore even more deeply how to deliver courses remotely. And some of what we learned, some of the lessons that we learned, we were able to then, right, institutionalize as options that we make available to our students today. I'm thinking of the different formats in which courses. So we are primarily face to face because our internal data says that that's what our people need, right? Contrary to popular opinion, we do institutional research and we make informed decisions, right? As a part of a strategic, again, this dedication to examining ourselves, right? We know that in general, our students and our people, even in this digital age, prefer face-to-face experience, but they may prefer that experience with a digital element, which is why now we have enshrined into the way that we deliver, right? We have the option for a person to have face-to-face meetings and yet deliver their content online, right? But also with the face-to-face experience. We have a hybrid format. We have flexible formats. And then we do have purely online formats. So we changing the way we do keep things like teaching and learning, right? And that's hard, right? That's a hard, these are hard lessons that we've learned and failed and tried over, over and over again. But I think that we are the better for it, especially now, years after those challenges.
Well, Tia, what kind of buy-in at this point do we have from faculty and students in terms of the accreditation process? And how have you or how do we inspire faculty, staff, students?
I think in the first instance, and we haven't been so great on this, right? Again, going back to the point of communication, right? We have been really hard at work doing the work that it takes to get these applications in and, working on putting in systems and revising our processes and procedures. But again, always maintaining that constant contact with people, making sure that people are aware of what's going on. It's something that we, that we're working on better because it is the primary way that we're going to inspire people. People don't need to go off and work on things and not understand sort of where we're at and how they are personally impacting the process. But I'm happy to report that we had a general faculty meeting yesterday. And we can tell that our faculty are on board with this. They have done the work to provide regular assessments, right, from semester to semester, which is a requirement of our accreditors, right? They are doing the work and they are inspired. They believe in this. And our students are also proud to know that we are making progress. So we tell the story, we'll keep up the momentum and the support.
All right. So we're getting buy-in from our faculty, our staff, our students. But universities don't operate in isolation. They're deeply connected to the workforce, the government, government policies, and economic growth. How is University of the Bahamas engaging national stakeholders in this accreditation process?
Well, obviously, as I said, through the program review process, which is key to interrogating our academic product, right? We are reestablishing. We had a policy put into place a couple of years back. Again, now institutionalizing something that we were doing anyway, right? This mm-hmm. idea of program review boards that allowed for members of industry to sit with the people actually writing curriculum at the university to give their feedback on, you know, how our actual programs could be changed to better fit the needs of the workplace. And so we've done that with just about all of our academic programs. And I know our Vice President of Academic Affairs and Provost, Dr. Maria Oriaki, Dr. Maria Woodside Oriaki, has put together a system in place to make sure that that happens on a regular basis. And so that's just one way that we are doing it. And, you know, we are seeking more and more international partnerships all the time. Through so that we can increase, right, our offerings of study abroad opportunities and faculty and student exchanges, right, abroad through our Office of Global Programs and International Studies. And so those are just two ways that I could think of. But I know you're trying to rush me to break, so I'm going to stop right there. Maybe we could continue this, right?
All right. Thank you. And you're correct. We're heading into another break. But when we come back, we'll talk about misconceptions and key takeaways. We'll be right back.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Welcome back to University Drive. We're talking to Dr. Walteria Tuckerroll, talking all things accreditation. So, Dr. Tuckerroll, we've covered a lot. Talk to us a little bit about the steps that a university can expect in the process of accreditation.
Okay, thank you so much for that, because it's good for us to tell the story, right, and to always emphasize that this is a process, right? So, we have done the part of submitting the paper application, and we're currently engaged in the part, right, of resubmitting based on that feedback, right? So after all of that is done, both national and international accreditors require that there be not just one, but a series of site visits, right? And of course, additional documentation that'll be submitted. So what we hope is to get clearance for site visits, right? Which are testing, right? The purpose of these site visits is to see, hey, you guys look great on paper. You looked so great that we have decided to come and check you out. During those visits to campus, right? There's a full overview like of our facilities, and just making sure that the accreditors are able to observe how we fulfill our core functions, how we execute them in a real life, everyday fashion, right? So they come and observe that in person. So then, and by doing so, they're able to determine whether or not we are an institution that operates, you know, with integrity, right? Because you could write about yourself, right? There are plenty of things that you could say about yourself on paper, but we want to show that we're as good in person as we are on paper. So those initial site visits will be first about that. Once they are convinced that we are as good and we do expect to be successful, right? Both the international and national accreditors require that we submit some additional documentation determining compliance in other areas not included in the initial portion of the application. Again, there's a submission then of those items and then another visit, right? And that second visit is generally about determining, okay, whether or not these people are actually up for being accredited. So, you know, just want to make sure that people understand that there's applicant, candidate, and then accredited institution. So it is a process. And as you could very well intuit, it takes some time. But so
you know, ask how long does
I mean, just for instance, the next phase after the first site visit, right? In general, you have 12 to 24 months in the case of one of the agencies, right? That you have to put together all of these and to demonstrate compliance. So, I mean, we will shoot to do it as quickly as possible, but as quickly as possible, right, is always months. It's that kind of, but I think it's more than that. You know, yes, it is a process, and yes, it's going to span multiple academic years, and it has, right? I think it's just we need to, the focus is on us continuously improving, right, at every stage. Mm-hmm. So even as we're getting ready for these various steps in the processes for both national and international accreditation, we are all the while becoming better. We are doing the work of, you know, complying with the policies that we've written. We're doing the work of documenting and assessing, and we're doing the work of checking our performance to our strategic goals and strategic plan and to mission. We're doing that work all the time. So at some point, and I believe that we're at that, you know, point, right, that we want this process of examining and questioning and regulating and then revising and reassessing, and we want it to become natural to us. We want it to become normal to us in such a way
this
that
this is something that's going to be continuous, not just for this. Right?
It's not a one and done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not a one and done. And so hopefully in this process, and I think that we are there, we are changing our culture. And what is culture, you know, Dr. Smith? What is culture, Craig? Culture, in one way, is cultivated habits. You know, it's cultivated. It's what we do every day, right? And so we're prioritizing making ourselves better. We are prioritizing documenting how we're doing that. And we're prioritizing constantly assessing ourselves as a general mode de vie, like the way that we live, right? So yeah, I had to throw that out there because I know, you know, a little French bouginess for you, Dr. Smith.
There you go. Thank you. There's something you said. I'm wondering if you can talk to us at all about these. You said a series of site visits.
Right.
Can you talk to us about what those entail, what those might look like? Are these, so this isn't just us sending a report somewhere. These are people actually coming on campus. Are they
Absolutely.
Coming into our classrooms? Are they talking to our students? What can we expect? So, and what can faculty, staff, and students expect when it comes to these site visits?
Right. So I'm glad. Yes, I can be more specific about that. So site visits are generally going to include not only tours of our facilities, and they are tours of all of UB, right? So yes, UB North, which we are super excited to show off, right? You know, our folks at UB North, we are one UB. Our folks at UB North, having gone through and all that they've gone through in the last couple of years, right, are just an amazing example of why UB is so special and how our university services our local communities, right? These site visits include tours of our facilities, all of our facilities. They include tours of our student housing. They include tours and of our business enterprise units within the university. They include interviews with key personnel based on what we're putting in the narration. So, for instance, on some of the standards have to do with how we evaluate and recruit, right, our faculty, staff, our administrators, for instance. And so there those that that if you could imagine it like this, if each standard is a chapter, then they're going to read the standard offsite and read the chapter offsite and then come and sort of do an in-person interview or question based on what they've read. And so they will ask for not only supplementary documentation that we may not have included in the first instance, but they will also ask to speak to particular persons and, you know, to see, again, always matching, is what you said on paper what you actually do? And in one of the instances, you know, I said integrity is key to this process, but one of the instances, you know, that integrity is an entire standard, right? And they don't allow you to write about it. Either you're compliant or not compliant, and they observe that through the site visit. So that's why site visits are important for this process, you know, so that people are matching. People can be assured that what we're saying that we do on paper is what we actually do. And so the public and all of us internal to UB, like, we can all be proud of the fact that, yes, when this happens, you know, we're able to show them, all of us, we're not seeking to hide anything. But even with, again, we are flawed in some cases, but we have been in continuous operation for 51 years. We have trained the best and brightest in the nation for years. You know, I mean, and I'm sure that our folks in communications could give us some even more stats, but every year, you know, we celebrate, you know, UB in Parliament. I mean, like 50% or above of our parliamentarians are graduates of this beloved institution, you know, and all of the teachers and all of the nurses. And so we have, again, something to shout about, and not to mention our students being placed in graduate schools. So we are 100% convinced that we have what it takes, and we are fine with our site visits to show that.
And I think it's exciting for faculty, students, and staff as well to know that at least some of them, you know, that their voices will be heard, that they can speak to these folks and talk about their own experiences at UB.
Right. You're right. Because they're not just depending on people like me telling that story. Yeah. Yes.
And I think that's important. It makes us all feel like we are actually a part of the process, right? Mm-hmm. That our voices matter as well. It's not just coming from the top down, but we are also, you know, they want to hear from us as well in terms of what our experiences are, what we think needs to be done better, what has been working for us, and so on. And it gives a more holistic view of the institution, right? Not just from those you bigwigs, right?
Oh, stop it. So yes, no, but 100% on, 100% on. And this, nobody, no one unit, no one position, no one person owns accreditation at UB. Right. We all do this, and we all own this process. So you are 100% right on with that.
Yeah. Now, Walter, I know that you yourself, you are an overachiever. I know. Love because it. You teach Spanish, but you just threw a little bit of French at me just now. So we all know. So I'm just wondering, are there any specific accreditation benchmarks that UB is aiming to exceed rather than just meet? Have you thought about that at all?
I mean, all of them. But no, to be clear, I will, and of course, again, I totally recommend you having our Vice President of Academic Affairs on, because she definitely could talk to you about how amazing our faculty, our teaching and learning experience is. And so, for instance, in the area of faculty assessments of programs, you know, faculty are not only teaching the courses, but they're interrogating how they're taught and what students are learning from semester to semester. It's actually one of the most aggressive reporting cycles. You know, there are annual reports, but faculty are actually looking at what they're doing from semester to semester, and they're assessing themselves.
I'm on the committee to do that for our department. So,
you know, the struggle is real, and you know, though, that it's also important. So you suffer through that because you know it's important for us to be constantly interrogating how well are we hitting, you know, how well are we fulfilling our core purpose? How well are we educating Bahamians? Mm-hmm. And how well are we educating our students? And, you know,
it's actually a great process to go through, right? Because
yes.
Oftentimes we, you know, we sludge through day to day and, you know, we think we know what we're doing, but to actually sit down and have a conversation and set up these benchmarks and figure out how we are going to, for ourselves, understand how our teaching is affecting our students and whether they are, you know, whether the classes we teach are actually going to get them to hit those benchmarks that we want. And when you go through the process and you're like, oh yeah, this is what we're doing and this is how we test for it. And this, you know, and then at the end, when you actually go through the process and the students, you know, you see that they hit all those benchmarks, it's a really gratifying feeling, right? And then you know for yourself that, oh yeah, we did that.
Yes. And of course, all the services that, you know, work along with curricular services, right? So the whole area of student services, right? And the whole array of opportunities, programming, support services that are offered through student services. And I of course, here's another plug, you know, Vice President of Student Affairs, right? Or Student Services, excuse me, Joe Stubbs and his team, all the things that they do from the first year. Right. Yes. For first year experience, making sure that they're working along to make sure that students have that holistic engagement, that we're dealing not only with their minds inside the classroom, but that we're dealing with their souls and in their bodies outside through the other kinds of programming that we use to support them. Because we, again, education is a process of becoming, and higher ed allows for that. So, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So, Walter, we're almost at an hour, before we end, I want you to give us what are some key takeaways that you want our listeners to have at this point in terms of the university's new era, right? So we're thinking about University of the Bahamas and where we are now. What are some of the key takeaways you want our listeners to understand about who we are, where we are, and where we're going? And, you know, if they want to get involved, how can they?
Wow, that's a tall order, Dr. Smith. But again, we're telling our story. UB is committed through this accreditation exercise to continuous improvement. We're dedicated to getting better all the time, and we really want to live up to our, you know, what's outlined in the strategic vision, right? Mm-hmm. That the university, we want to be that primary resource for research and innovation and community engagement. And we want to meet the educational aspirations of our students, both our graduate and our undergraduate students, right? We want to always be promoting the values of learning, leadership, and service in everything that we do. And so we are your university. We are hearing the cries of industry and our greater communities for further engagement. We are being responsive in a way that we can always be the first choice of, or the institution of first choice for Bahamians. Because we know that people have, you know, we have options in this world, right? And you started off mentioning that, you know, right. Some people are deciding to take you know, international options, and that may be good for some folks, but we want people to know that they can get a top tier education right here at home. And, you know, we hope that they are always incentivized, you know, by the idea of knowing even that there is that they can use the Bahamas Tertiary Grant Program here at their home institution to educate themselves in a world-class setting, right at home. And so we are your university, yeah. And we're getting better at all the time. I think that at the end of the day, that's what I want to say.
And I think that's so important to for folks to understand that we are, like as you pointed out earlier, that we are doing really well, right? Mm-hmm. Our students are in demand.
Yes.
Locally and internationally, right? And I would really like to see us take more pride in our university. You know, I went to University of Florida, and you couldn't walk down the street without someone wearing a Gator shirt. You know what I mean? Right. I would love to see folks go into Chapter One and buy the UB gear. And I'd love
Absolutely.
To see, because that's how we build the culture. That's how we change the culture, right? Yeah. That's how, you know, go to the basketball games, go to the soccer games, like, you know, support. There are many ways that people can support UB, you know, just by attending the talks that might happen at the library, mm-hmm. going to some of the sporting activities, buying and wearing the merch, right?
Yeah.
So people see, because I think that, you know, when people, I didn't know what an alligator was,
uh-huh.
right? Growing up in the Bahamas, but I used to see the, you know, when tourists would come in and they would wear their Gators shirt, right? I'm like, huh, mm-hmm. Gators, what is that, right?
Yeah.
And I think even in some ways, in terms of how we inspire younger folks now, so they understand that UB is an option for them as well, is they need to see it. It needs mm-hmm. to be demonstrated to them. They need to go to the games and, you know, people need to talk about it and people need to wear the shirts and stuff like that. I think that, you know, that is a simple way that we can help UB
right.
to be the institution that a lot of people claim they
yes.
want the university to be. But that, like you said, you know, in culture, it's what we do.
Right.
We create that, right?
Right, right.
So
let's get excited about it. Let's get excited about it, because we're doing big things. We have been for 50 years without interruption, right? Despite all challenges. And we are meeting that public national demand for providing a world-class experience, training students for life in a global society right at home, and, you know, building this nation one person at a time. So yes, 100%. Go Mingos. Mingo Nation.
That's a perfect way to end today. Dr. Tucker Roll, thank you for joining us on this edition of University Drive.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for listening in. I am Craig Smith, and we will see you next time.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.